One Hand Speaks. Hey, hey, my friends. This is Alejandro Anastasio with the One Hand Speaks Storytelling Podcast. Humorous, intimate, and enlightening one-handed stories about life and beyond. Welcome, everyone, to episode 004, Disabled International One-Handed Traveling, and all the uniqueness, quirkiness, and simply funkalicious experiences that I have traveling with one hand. I'll be talking about carrying my bags, baggage claim, what it's like actually getting on a plane. How about simply the security factors of traveling with one hand? And what I'd like to do is slightly also touch upon the cultural differences of how people view me with the body that I have right now. I love to travel. And as a professional speaker, I've had the fortune of speaking in 7 different countries, and I've done a fair amount of international travel. Indonesia, Malaysia, Czech Republic, Finland, Estonia. I've covered some ground. I've experienced some interesting aspects of people's perception. And at the same time, I've also, again, learned a lot about what it's like living this one-handed life. If you've listened to some of my other podcasts, you know that I actually like the body that I have. I like who I am. And I look at the more positive aspects and benefits and qualities and uniqueness, greatness, hipness of living life with one hand. But that doesn't mean there aren't some interesting quirks that happen, especially during international travel or just travel in general. Even getting on a plane going to Indiana for the Indiana Comic Con can be a very unique learning curve, to say the least. What I would like to first talk about is simply managing my luggage. Just even carrying a suitcase or a briefcase. Typically, you have one baggage or carry-on, and then you're allowed an extra item. Now, if it's something that I have to carry with my hand, then I'm pretty much locked out. So I have to be really mindful when I pack. And I have to share this interesting story. When I was running my professional martial arts school, I ran a professional martial arts school for 10 years here in Boise, Idaho. 3 Shapes Aikido. Reshape your life. 3 Shapes Aikido. And there's not a lot of Aikido here in Boise, Idaho. I spent a lot of time traveling for training, and I was going to see my sensei, Ikeda Sensei, outside of Boulder, Colorado for our 1-week summer camp. I packed all my stuff into a large international suitcase because I know I only want to carry one bag. I don't want to deal with trying to manipulate a number of different bags. And when I got there, one of my colleagues wanted to help me, and he grabbed my really big suitcase, and he was slightly struggling with it. And it was an interesting interaction because he actually gave me a small amount of heat about the size of my bag. He's like, "Well, Alejandro, you're only here for a week. Why did you pack 3 months worth of stuff?" And it had a little edge on it. And it was interesting. I looked right at him and I said, "You know, I only have one hand. Therefore, I don't want to carry multiple bags. It's easier for me to have one big bag." And he got it. I could tell by the look on his face that he realized that he was approaching me in a two-handed way. And it's important that I just let him understand what's going on. And I bring that up because maybe about 2 months earlier, I tried to take two rolling suitcases on international travel. Now, I have 2 arms, but I don't have 2 hands. So I may not have 2 hands. However, I am fully armed. But it can be a challenge pulling 2 suitcases. I see two-handed people moving around with 2 suitcases and they manipulate them quite well. But that is not my experience. And I remember just struggling so greatly trying to pull 2 suitcases. I was frustrated. I even pulled up and stopped. I had my backpack on. It was just hard to manipulated. I had my wallet in my pocket. I just had a lot going on, and I'm trying to pull these two rolling suitcases. I just stopped. And I looked around and I watched these two-handed people floating around like dancers, like ice skaters on an ice rink, rocking their suitcases. And I thought, wow, now that's pretty cool. I need to change my game. I got to do what fits my body. I got to play my hand. I got to do my one-handed thing, thang, thang, thang. Right now, a very popular phrase in our society is hands free. Now, hands-free is a deep statement to me, because really, it's just hand-free. And if my hand is occupied, there's not much I'm doing with anything else, except maybe just standing around smiling. So I gotta be real aware of what I'm carrying, why I'm carrying it, and how I'm carrying it. For me, yes, less can be more. And on my body, I need to carry as little as possible. I don't need to have a lot of gadgets. When I'm working on my cell phone, if I have to pull out my wallet, even trying to get my itinerary out and organized can be an interesting challenge. One thing I've noticed with life with one hand, especially traveling and internationally traveling galore, I need to be aware of what I put down. Life with one hand is on many levels, a practice of mindfulness. I cannot tell you how many times I've put something down because I've had to manipulate something else with my one hand and then realize that maybe I forgot to pick it up or I left it somewhere. Next thing you know, I'm running through the airport like a crazy one-handed wild madman. Therefore, organization for everyone is an important aspect of traveling, especially if you have a disability, if you have one hand. If you have any kind of aspect that makes your experience different, it can be a benefit to help you increase your mindfulness. But the last thing I want to do is forget something in Europe. And it's not only mindfulness, it's efficiency. I've learned to be very efficient with one hand. Therefore, I just take as little as possible, and I keep things as organized as possible. I try to be as efficient as possible, and I always count my stuff. Whenever I make a transition from an airport to a plane, from a plane to an airport, my most important stuff, whatever that may be, wallet, passport, cash, itinerary, I count those items, and I have one spot where I keep those, and it's always good to go. Okay. Good to go. Here we are. I got my bags packed. I'm organized. I know where my most important itinerary, wallet, passport, little bit of cash to spend, those kind of things. So I don't have to pull anything out of my pockets, where I'm carrying my phone. It's all good to go. I got my one suitcase and my backpack carry-on, and I am on my way to the airport. Now, it's very rare that I actually play the disability card, but I usually do it at the airport because I can get on the plane early. I can lift my bag. There's not a lot of hassle. It just works out really well. And sometimes people approach me. Now, this is an interesting experience that I had in China. I flew to China. I went to the World Championships of Public Speaking in Malaysia. I was a semi-finalist, and I had to detour through China. So I landed in Hong Kong and then flew to Malaysia. Now, that was a 15-hour flight to Hong Kong and then a layover in China and then on my way to Malaysia. But when I was getting ready to board the plane in Malaysia, these three Chinese stewardesses came over to me rather quickly. And they're like, oh, hello, can we help you? Can we help you? Let's carry your bag. Is it okay if we carry your bag? And I was slightly stunned because that's not my general experience. And then I said, well, of course you can carry my bag. And they said, well, would you like to get on the plane early? Now, I had to pause. And I thought to myself, so let me get this straight. And I'm saying this in my head. Now, you want to carry my bag and you want me to get on the plane early? Well, yes! Yeah, I feel like a rock star in China. And yeah, of course, they carried my bag. They put my suitcase up top. They had me sit down and they just told me to relax. That we treat most people with disabilities this way. Now, I didn't have to play my disability card in China because they're looking out for me. This is what I mean about cultural international differences in perspectives about people with disabilities. Now, it wasn't like that in Malaysia, and it's not always like that in the United States. However, I do ask for that privilege. It's not a right for me, but it's a privilege. It's a perk. I don't have a handicap parking spot. My legs are fine. I'm not taking that route. But on a plane, sure, I'd like to get on a plane early. And I ask for that accommodation. And it's a very small thing, but it makes a big difference in my life. It makes things a little bit easier and it runs smooth. And, well, come on, I get on the plane early. And who doesn't want to get on the plane early? Now, those are some of the considerations that I deal with just prepping for flights, prepping for travel, train, travel, bus, all pretty much basically the same when it comes to carrying things with one hand, what I'm going to manipulate, what I'm going to carry, how all that's going to work. Now I'm on the plane, I'm traveling, everything's cool, I'm off the plane. Similar things could be happening, but basically you're just looking to get off the plane and get into where you are going to go. What I'd like to do is segue a little bit into just some of the cultural aspects of safety in other countries and just traveling as a person with a disability. Now, I did a very long bike trip a while back. One of my early podcasts, maybe the first podcast, had a story about that, and I plan to talk more about what it was like riding my bicycle from Seattle to Chicago. It was an incredible trip. I learned a lot. It took me 62 days. I camped out. I met incredible people. I had incredible experiences. And part of those experiences is what it means to be a safe traveler, a safe international traveler. And to prepare for that trip, I read a book about female solo traveling. Now, that is a thing because women have other considerations traveling by themselves than men do. Now, I'm not a woman, but I learned a lot from reading that book, and I learned a lot about the security factors of solo traveling. And now I have other considerations as a solo traveler with one hand. In 2015, I did a speaking tour in Europe. I was there for about 20 days speaking and teaching. I spoke in the Czech Republic, Finland, Vienna, Austria, and Estonia. Just phenomenal. I had a great experience. When I was in the Czech Republic, I spoke at a Czech Republic high school. And I did my thing. I started talking about the benefits of one hand, the power of thinking. And then we just did a bunch of Q&A. They had a lot of questions about the United States. Of course, there were a lot of political questions. But this one person, this one young man, asked me about how safe I feel traveling alone in the Czech Republic. And I thought it was an interesting question. And then I asked him, well, I have three black belts. I'm fairly strong. I know how to take care of myself. I'm secure, but I'm also very wise and aware. But I asked him, why are you asking me that? And he said, here in the Czech Republic, there are what they call tourist gangs. They're muggers that work in a pack, and they'll isolate tourists and attack them in a group. And he said, you have one hand. You look like you would be a very easy victim. Now, I had to think about that for a moment, and I did restate that I do have three black belts, and I'm fairly confident, so I don't really look like a victim, but I was grateful that he told me that, because that also gave me something to think about when it comes to being a safe one-handed traveler. And I bring this up because when I'm walking around Europe, or when I'm just doing international travel, basically I have my backpack on, and then I have my wallet in my pocket sometimes. I don't do that anymore. But if I pull something out, it's in my hand. And if I need to get something else, I got to put it down. And I remember this one time in Vienna, I was trying to manipulate something. I was a little unorganized, and I got to pay attention to that. But I had my wallet out. I had my phone. And then I had to get something out of my backpack. And I just remember taking off my backpack and putting it down. and I had my phone under my left arm, and then I was manipulating, like looking through my wallet, and I just paused for a moment and I kind of looked around. I got that funny vibe, like somebody's watching me. And I thought, oh, right now I am my own worst security risk. I could be pushed over. Somebody could grab my wallet and run. My backpack's on the ground. I thought, this is not one-handedly wise. So I immediately put everything in my backpack, put my backpack on, went over and sat down, reevaluated my situation, and just simply thought about what that teenager, that young kid in the Czech Republic told me about how I look like a victim. And ever since then, I've just paid a lot of attention to my security factors. Now, later, I was in Český Krumlov, which is a beautiful little tourist city in southern Czech Republic. I got a big Moldavite overtone. I got a podcast coming up on Moldavite. If you've never heard of Moldavite, just look it up. Moldavite. It's a tektite. They're very rare. And Moldavite is the most popular tektite. I was actually in the Czech Republic to do some Moldavite hunting and meet miners and my really good friend Nico. And I just had a great time. But I did 3 days in Český Krumlov. There's a Moldavite museum down there. And I got a bed and breakfast. And it was the perfect, cute little bed and breakfast. I'll see if I can get a link for it or some information in the resources. But I remember I made some really great people there. And it was so funny because there was a gentleman there from Nevada. Now, I travel halfway around the world. And what do? I meet somebody from Nevada. His name is Bones. And he was a really cool chap. We've actually stayed in touch. And we met again here in the United States in Vegas because he works there and lives there. And there was a Chinese girl there, but she ended up leaving right away. But there was a Korean kid named Khan. We spent a lot of time together. And an Australian young lady named Mandy. Now, Mandy, Bones, and I were all just talking about international travel. And they had some really high-end international travel gear that's cut-resistant, and it protects your cards from being read and all this kind of stuff. And they're just talking about all these security factors and how, you know, Mandy got her phone pickpocketed and all this kind of stuff, and Bones had these considerations. And I finally paused and I said, you know, guys, I have a different set of considerations because I don't have two hands. You have to be really careful about putting things on the ground. I got to really be careful about pulling stuff out of my pocket. What do I care? Where do I carry my wallet? I can be an easy victim. And I no longer take my backpack off and put it on the ground so I can pull my wallet out or pull something out or anything like that. And I was telling him, and I'm mentioning this because as a one-handed traveler, I have different security issues. Just like Mandy, as a female solo traveler, you have different considerations. You can be an easy victim for men. I can be an easy victim for anyone. And I mention this to them, just generally speaking, because, well, these are the things I deal with as a one-handed traveler. But also, when I was in Estonia, which is a very cool country, very small country, below Finland and next to Russia. But I just remember walking. I spent 3 days there. I was speaking there. And then I was just hanging out in their little old downtown area. I mean, some of those buildings are from the 13th century and they're still in operation. People still selling things out of buildings built in the 13th century. What a great time. Their city hall built in the 14th century, still in use. But I remember walking around and I would see the same people kind of out of the corner of my eye. One day I would see them and I spent a lot of time walking back and forth looking for shops, just doing the tourist thing. I look like a tourist, got a backpack on, this kind of stuff. And I just remember after seeing this one guy and these group of people a number of times, I just remember walking through the gates of Old Town Estonia and this guy started approaching me. And he said, oh, hey, I need your help. Please help me. Please help me. I need your help. I need your help. And I just got the Spider-Man senses went off. And I thought, oh, this could be a very bad moment. And he said, come on, man, I really need your help. I really need your help. And I simply said, no, I'm not going to help you. And he tried to engage in more conversation. I could tell he wanted me to stop moving. And he's like, oh, why don't you help me? Why don't you want to help me? And I said, I am not helping you right now because I don't think it's a safe thing to do. And I picked up my space and I picked up my pace and I skirmied off. And then later, I started talking to some people, started doing some research, and found out that it's very common that one person will approach a tourist and stop them, and another one of their buddies will come by and take their wallet or cut their backpack off or mug them or something along those lines. And I thought, you know what? The last thing I want to do is be a victim. And I say this often about anywhere I go on international travel. In every country that I go to, there are millions of things that I want to see, and pretty much two things I do not want to see. I do not want to see the inside of a jail or police station, and I certainly don't want to see the inside of a hospital. I need to be careful. I need to be aware. I need to think about my one-handed considerations as a one-handed person doing international solo traveling. What are some lessons learned here? What are some of my takeaways that I want to share as a disabled traveler, and especially for all you one-handed people out there, my army of greatness? All one-handed people unite. Let's take over the world with love. Give them a big hug. There are a lot of things here. You got to be mindful and you have to be efficient. And you have to really increase your security. You got to really pay attention. We look like victims. On the outside, we can look weak. But as long as we're smart and wise and we're confident in who we are, less chance of getting mugged. But you got to be careful. So you got to be mindful, putting things down, taking things out. You have to be efficient. Don't have too many things. They're harder to track. They're easier to lose. And increase your security. Know where you're going. Know where you're not going. Know who you should talk to. Don't overtrust people. Be kind, but be aware. These things are very important as one-handed travelers. And I'd like to use my more popular phrase of late, play your hand. Play the cards that you're dealt. Travel in the capacity that you can travel. I have a colleague in a wheelchair. Travels has done some great things. The disabled traveler, I've put him in a resource link on a prior podcast. I'll do it again. There are people with all kinds of disabilities doing all kinds of things. Now, I have both my legs. I don't know what it's like traveling with one leg, but I can share my experiences as a one-handed traveler. And I need to pay attention to who I am. I have to play my hand. I got to do things that work well for me. I got to be smart in a one-handed aspect. And it's really about awareness, mindfulness, security. If you have a disability, that shouldn't stop you. That should actually inspire you to do more, to be more, to experience more. And just because you have a disability, that's not enough. That adversity alone is not enough to stop you. Get out there. Do it. Go. See the world. Inspire people. Inspire people to travel. Let people live vicariously through you. When you overcome your challenges, obstacles, and especially adversity in life, you give other people permission to do the same. When you do great things, it gives people permission to do more great things. And what the world needs today is more people doing great things. We need people to inspire other people. So just remember, when you overcome your adversity, you inspire other people to overcome theirs. Don't let your disability disable your thinking. Break free. And if you have ever had the dream of traveling, I only have one word for you. Go. Hey, thanks for tuning in. This is Alejandro with One Hand Speaks. Find me online at onehandspeaks.com and all your social media outlets.